Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Is there sin after baptism? Well, sometimes people think that after baptism, everything's going to be just fine. They won't sin anymore. And as a matter of fact, there's a false translation in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, which says that if you have the Spirit of God, you cannot sin, which is an incorrect translation. I even had a man call up on the phone one day, and I answered the phone, and he said, "I don't sin anymore." And I said, "That's interesting. What day do you keep?" "Oh, I keep Sunday." I said, "You're sinning." So let's answer the question, is there sin after baptism? 1 John, the 1st chapter. See, because what you're going to learn as you continue is that every question can be answered from the Bible, because it's talking about the whole experience of human life. Living in this world, fighting against Satan the devil, and while living in the world, we have the Spirit of God. And let's read something very interesting here in 1 John, the 1st chapter. Now remember, when John wrote this, he was old. Verse 6, chapter 1. "If we proclaim we have fellowship with him and are walking in darkness." Now, darkness is the way of the world. And we have learned we're not to go the way of the world, right? Now, here's what happens when people say, like that one man who called me, "I don't sin anymore." We are lying to ourselves. Now, that's the worst kind of lying, isn't it? You can analyze what people tell you, whether it's true or lies. You can listen to a preacher preach, and you can understand if it's truth or not truth, or if it's his own opinion or tradition. But if you lie to yourself, and you deceive yourself with your own lies, then you're in real trouble. "And we are not practicing the truth." Now, that's another interesting phrase. So if you're lying to yourself and not practicing the truth, and what is the truth? Your word is the truth, Jesus said. And Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Correct? Yes, indeed. Notice what he's saying here. Look at it. It is we. Now, John writing this is including himself, because when we get to chapter 2, he's speaking in the first person, I. So that's something a lot of people miss when they read the Bible. But we, he's including himself. Now, one of the most righteous apostles of Jesus Christ, the one whom Jesus loved, and he wrote more on the Spirit of God and the truth of God. Now notice this. "However, if we walk in the light," and the light is the Word of God, "as he," Jesus, "is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another," all the brethren, "and the blood of Jesus Christ, his own Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, that's an interesting statement, isn't it? Yes. Blood of Jesus Christ is there through the grace of God. See? Now then, hold your place here, because we'll come back and we will see one of the very first things that Jesus taught was how to pray. So let's come to Matthew, the 6th chapter. And in Matthew, the 6th chapter, we find an outline of how to pray, not a prayer that we memorize and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. This is an outline. Matthew 6 and verse 9. Therefore, you are to pray after this manner. Notice how it starts out. Our Father. So right at the very beginning of his ministry, he was revealing the Father, wasn't he? Yes, indeed. Who is in heaven? He's not on earth. Hallowed be your name, because he is the Father. Your kingdom come, and that's the whole thing we're looking forward to after baptism and growing in grace and knowledge. The coming kingdom of God. And we're nearer to it than ever before. Now, we don't know exactly when it's going to be. We have certain waymarks about when it's going to come, but that's for some other segments on Church at Home. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That covers a lot of things, because everything that is done on earth and has been prophesied by God, the way it's going to happen, is going to happen that way. But this applies to us who are on the earth now. Those who have the Spirit of God, and those who are praying and overcoming, and those who are striving to do the will of God. Then it says next, give us this day our daily bread, and God provides everything. Now stop and think about this for just a minute. Here we live on the earth, which is part of a solar system, which is part of a galaxy, which is part of the great universe that there is, and God has made it all. And here we are on the earth, all of us, little specks of dust, full grown into adults. Now think of this. Everything on earth God has made for human life. Every breath of air, think how God makes the air. Every drop of water that you drink, God created it. And there's more water on the earth than there is land. And there's more water under the earth than people have ever suspected. All of that to sustain human life, to grow plants, to grow food. And so that's why when you eat, you thank God and ask a blessing on the meal, because everything you have there to eat, God created. And think about that every time you eat. And think about that even for the whole world, as sinful as it is, God provides all the water, all the air, all the food. Then it is here, forgive us our debts, which really is our sins, as we also forgive our debtors. This is absolutely true, because God has forgiven you, forgiven me, forgiven all of those that are his. We are also to forgive. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. That's Satan, the devil. That's quite a thing. He's still here, and we need deliverance every day. And as a matter of fact, through all of the modern technology, Satan has almost free invitation to come into every home, to come into every life. So today we have a lot more to really work on than this prayer reveals, but it gives us the outline. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this shows us what? Christians sin after being baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. But what are they now to do? Is God going to reject us because we sin? And are those sins inadvertent? And how many of those sins are in our minds and not open for other people to see and discern? Well, that's the whole purpose of conversion, to get rid of the sins that everybody can see and understand that are transgressions of God's laws and commandments, and then next, get rid of the sin within. Now, we've got a book on that, How to Overcome the Sin Within, because that's where it's at. Because every action out here that a person does must have thought about it first, so it's the sin within. Back to 1 John 1, verse 7. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his own Son, cleanses us from all sins. John is including himself. So yes, Christian sin after baptism. And what is that all about? That is getting rid of the sin within, and it is the transformation of our minds. Now notice verse 8. If we say we do not have sin, when Paul tells us human nature is the law of sin and death. So we can't say like they say in false Christianity, if you're saved, you can't sin. Just go be nice. That's not it. That is a delusion. That is a false statement. That is a false way of living. That's why I call it fake Christianity. If we say we do not have sin, we are deceiving ourselves. And we saw it up here. We are lying to ourselves. Put those two verses together, verse 6 and verse 8. Very important to understand. That's why the key is overcoming. And overcoming is accomplished this way. If we say we have not sinned, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Verse 9 now. If we confess our sins, just like we read of Matthew, the 6th chapter. If we confess our sins, and confession is repenting, and repenting is turning from them. Repenting is asking God to forgive them. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that's a tremendous thing to understand about the grace of God. See, you're out here in the world before you're baptized, and you're living the way you want to live. You have no access to God. Sin rules over you. Almost every thought you have is some kind of sin, even though you may have some good thoughts. Once you receive the Spirit of God, you're to walk in newness of life, as we have covered, which is explained right here. And now, if and when you sin, you confess your sins. That's why there's prayer every day. And that's why prayer every day says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Right? Daily. Now notice verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Doesn't matter what you profess. It's what you really think and do. Now then, John is explaining something very important here. See, and this is for everyone who has been newly baptized, that you have the sin within, just as Paul said, the law of sin and death. And we have been delivered from it. Now, let's come back here to Romans, the 8th chapter. This because it comes important, because when we sin, we need to repent. But since we have the Holy Spirit of God, and what does the Holy Spirit of God do when we sin? It reveals it to us in our minds, which when we were in the world, we had no such revelation that it was sin, right? So it's the working of the Holy Spirit within you to accomplish that. Now, because of that, Paul writes, verse 1, Romans 8, consequently, there now is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And the Spirit will lead you to confess your sins to God. If you're living carnally according to the flesh, you will have no such inclination to repent. That's the difference. Before baptism, you don't know. But with God's Spirit and conviction and baptism, God's Spirit in you, you know. And that's to help you get rid of it internally. Verse 2, because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has delivered me from the law of sin and death. Now, the law of the Spirit of life is what we've been talking about. The operation of what happens when you sin and confess your sins. That's the law of the Spirit of life, so you can repent of them and be delivered from the law of sin and death, which you still have in you. See, because we must overcome human nature. But now then, let's see what God did to make that possible. What did Jesus Christ personally do, and why did he come in the flesh? Verse 3, for what was impossible for the law to do, just keeping the law alone without the Spirit of God can never do away with sin. In that it is weak through the flesh. Now notice what God did and what Jesus did. God, having sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now what does that mean? Now, I want you to understand something about Jesus Christ living in the flesh that maybe you have never heard of before or you have ever understood before, because he didn't come down here and be in a situation where he could not be like the rest of us as human beings. So let's read it. Sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. What does that mean? That means that Christ had human nature. He had the law of sin and death within him, yet he had to live a whole life without ever sinning. Now, I want you to understand how fantastic that is, how marvelous that is, so that he could become the perfect sacrifice for the sins of all mankind. And for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Whose flesh? Jesus' flesh. He was crucified. His shed blood is what forgives our sins, because he never sinned. So think about how great that was, living in the flesh and never sinning. Now, why did he do it? What was the purpose of that? Couldn't God have done it some other way? No. Because God created us after his image and in his likeness, but he gave us free moral agency. And with free moral agency, there is going to be sin. And we discover that clear back in the Garden of Eden. So this is God's solution. How do you solve sin and bring people to conversion and help them grow in grace and knowledge so that they can enter into the kingdom of God? That's the whole purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 4. In order that the righteousness of the law, yes, the true righteousness of obedience, the true righteousness of commandment keeping, might be fulfilled in us. in us. Now, listen, Paul's including himself there, right? Just exactly as John was including himself back there in 1 John, the first chapter. We and us, correct? Yes. Who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you're keeping the commandments of God, you are walking according to the Spirit. Now that's quite a thing to understand. Come back here to 1 John, second chapter. Now, what I just covered, maybe you never heard explained anywhere in any Sunday-keeping church. No, because they don't believe the Word of God the way God says it's to be believed. Chapter 2, 1 John, verse 1. My little children, yes, at 80 or 85, he could call us my little children. I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Now notice, may not. Because we have to choose. And we have to bring every thought into captivity to Christ. And yet if anyone does sin, we, including himself, have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation or atonement for our sins. And that's why you need our new book, The Plan of God for Mankind Revealed by His Sabbath and Holy Days, because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ goes from that time forward. And from that time backward, because at the end, God is going to reach back and bring all of those who never had an opportunity for salvation back to a second physical life. Now, maybe you've never heard that before, but that's for an opportunity for salvation, see. So Jesus Christ's sacrifice covers everything. Not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Verse 3, by this standard we know that we know him. And that's the important thing. We know him if we keep his commandments. We know him if we have his Spirit. We know him if we love him. We know him because he loves us. And that love is expressed how? If we keep his commandments. That's why. The Protestant world is so wrong when they say, the law is done away. If you do away with the law, there's no life, there's no existence, there's nothing. Now notice what it says in verse 4. The one who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. And Jesus said there'd be many liars out there, many false prophets. We'll finish with the next two verses, because this shows how we are to live after we have received the Holy Spirit of God. On the other hand, if anyone is keeping his word, truly in this one, the love of God is being perfected. Every time you repent because you have sinned, you're being perfected. Because God is forgiving that, and you don't want to do that, and you don't want to live that way. You want to live God's way, right? Being perfected. By this means we know we are in him. And like we read before, he is in us, and we are in them. God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 6, and we'll finish here. Anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligating himself also to walk. That means as a way of living, even as he himself, Jesus Christ, walked. That tells us how magnificent God's plan is. With mercy, grace, and forgiveness, love and kindness, okay, all of those things. So you need to write for all of the material that we have on this. Grace of God, what it's all about. Lord, what should I do? from a speck of dust to a son of God? Why were you born? One of the most important books you could have. And our new book. Now, our new book will be a tremendous book for you to have. And it's called God's Plan for Mankind Revealed by His Sabbath and Holy Days. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.